Church. We're glad you're here this morning. At the river, we pray together. We worship together. We grow together. We serve together. And together we impact our world. Amen. That's who we are. Thank you, the Lord, for our church. Amen. And thank you, Lord, for this group of people that is the river of life. Tell your neighbor, you are the river. And there's a river on the inside of you. A river of life that's flowing. Amen. I'm excited to be here this morning. I thank God He brought us here safely. We thank God for this opportunity. I want to remind everyone, next Sunday morning is our Unfrozen Christmas program. And you can see the icebergs are on the stage and things are coming together for that program. Use this as an evangelistic tool to invite people. I encourage you, pick some of these up, invite strangers, invite friends, invite families. There are two presentations. One is Saturday at 3, and the other one is next Sunday. So Saturday, Sunday. And so pick one of these up, bring somebody. That's how we grow in numbers, is sheep reproduce sheep. You're a reproducer. Sheep reproduce sheep. That's how the church grows. So let's see how many people you can add to your pew. You don't have enough room? All right, we're going to hold you to that. Well, you need to get a different pew. You can't even put all your kids in that pew. I know, you put them in front of them so you can whop them, right? Keep track of them. But invite people. And also, just a reminder, Thursday is our outreach to host Oaklawn's Christmas party. And so we encourage you, if you can, volunteer for that. Please come and volunteer. Their board of directors serve the food, and it's catered in. But this gives us an opportunity to help people get their plates, to find a seat, to get whatever they need, maybe to help them to the restroom. It is just an opportunity to serve people. And you know what? I was thinking, they're coming into our house. Tell your neighbor, this is our house. And tell them it's a good thing if somebody's home when they come. Somebody's got to be home in the house when guests show up. Is that right? And we usually have over 400. So I think there was 450 last year, and there's lots of opportunities to serve. So I encourage you, if you can do that, I don't know if there's a sign-up sheet, but Elder Cheryl's in charge of that, so if you get a chance, you can talk to her. So this morning, I'd like to share with you some insight that the Lord has given to us regarding the new year. And Apostle Leon and I have been in prayer, and the direction we are going at the first of the year, beginning January 1, is 40 days of prayer and fasting as a corporate body. So we'll come together on January 1, and that will be the day that our fast and our corporate prayer begins. And there is a sign-up sheet out there if you want to sign up that you are going to take a day to fast. If you are going to fast 40 days, I encourage you to see your doctor first. But we can do a 40-day fast if you do something like a Daniel fast. Daniel gave up all the delicacies and the king's meat to do a fast for 21 days. So I encourage you, seek the Lord. I'm not going to tell you what kind of fast to do or how many days to fast, because that is your decision. All of us can be in prayer every day. We need the presence of God in our corporate life. We need the power and the glory of God to show up every time we come together. And God is here, and I sense His presence, but God wants to release more to us. And it's through prayer and fasting that we hunger and we thirst for God, for His righteousness, for that face-to-face encounter, to experience God like we've never experienced Him before. And this is a time we're entering into a new season in America. Don't think everything's okay because Donald Trump was elected president and Governor Pence vice president. We still look to God. And we need God. We need God above everything else. Seek first the kingdom of God. You see, when you begin to pray and fast, you begin to let go of worldly things. God begins to reveal the idols in our life when we began to quiet ourselves and get with God. The world is so noisy and the world is pulling on us. And God wants our attention. So we will gather as a corporate body at 10 a.m. to pray right here. There are times that will change with our gathering as far as there will be no 9 o'clock classes on Sunday morning. The Lord said, stop all of the horizontal activity and seek me and seek my face. So at 10 o'clock, we'll gather as a corporate body. And at 10:30, our service will begin. So prayer will be in here starting January 1, as well as Christmas morning. We're going to gather at 10 o'clock on Christmas morning to pray from 10 to 10:30. Not to do spiritual warfare, but to seek God's face. To spend time with God. To quiet ourselves in the presence of a holy God. To draw deeper in relationship with Him. We gather together on Sunday morning as a corporate body to worship. And worship is a spiritual act. 1 Peter 2:5 says, you, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. So when we come together, it is an act of worship. It is a spiritual dynamic that begins to happen as the body of Christ gathers together. And when we seek God in one accord, just like on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit was poured out. And there were 3,000 saved that day. You see, when we as the church begin to seek God with all of our hearts, not part of it, with all of our soul, not part of it, with all of our mind, that's bringing every thought into captivity that tries to exalt itself above Jesus Christ, and with all of our strength. Worship involves everything that you are. And as we come together as the body of Christ and seek God's face, His power is poured out upon us. And anyone that is sitting in this place gets a touch from Jesus. And we all need a touch from Jesus. So the saved become saved. The lame begin to walk. Miracles, signs, and wonders begin to happen. But that's because we pray for the presence of God. We're not asking Him for stuff. We're asking Him to come. We're not bringing our list. We are just coming because we love God And we are desperate for Him. We need Him. And we need one another. When one person is missing, as you notice today, we have two people missing from praise team. It makes a difference. It makes a difference. We are connected and knitted together, and we all have something to bring to the corporate body that's important. So don't ever think that what you bring is insignificant. Because what you bring is what God has given you as we come together and seek His face and be the church. We talk about the prevailing church. The gates of hell will not prevail against the church of God. Let's be a prevailing church in 2017. That a demon can't sit in this place and be comfortable because the power of God is in this house. You see, we've got to get desperate for it. It just doesn't just happen. Come on, church. It doesn't just happen. It takes all of us together seeking God, crying out for His presence, crying out for Him to come. Drawing closer to Him. So together, we prepare the habitation for the power and the presence of God. God is with us every day, but He ordained the gathering of the church. He ordained the body of Christ to come together so that He could dwell among us. You see, when we come together on Sunday to worship, we come because we love God. And we need to hear from Him. We need Him in our lives. We can't make it a day without Him. He's the very air that we breathe. We're here to worship Him because of who He is. Because of who He is, not because of what we can get from Him. He's not Santa Claus. He is God. And understanding who He is, knowing Him, you can know about Him, but do you know Him? Do you know Him? First Peter 2:9 says, but you are a chosen generation. You are a royal priesthood, a holy nation, His own special people. That you may proclaim the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. We come and bring a sacrifice of praise. A sacrifice cost you something. We bring a sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. And we worship Him. John 4:23 and 24 says, but the hour is coming and now is when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship Him. God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship in spirit and in truth. Spiritual worship to the Lord. And He will show Himself. When you seek Him with your whole heart, He will be found. That is what the Word of God says, and the Word of God is true. It is eternal in the heavens. It will never pass away. This earth will pass away, and everything you're trying to hold on to so tightly in this world will disappear. But the Word of God will stand forever. Let's ask God to give us a love for His Word, and that we believe His Word. The philosophies of men and human reasoning will try to talk you out of every promise of God. And if we listen to that and begin to use our human reasoning, we begin to miss out on our inheritance and the promises that God has for us. And that's what the world is constantly doing. Constantly reasoning away the Word of God. And you know, that's what Satan did in the very beginning in the Garden of Eden with Eve. He says, does it really say? And so what happens is that what it really means? And we begin to question and doubt. And because of doubt and unbelief, the children of Israel were not able to enter in into the promised land, into their rest. Some of us are looking for rest and not finding it, and we're not finding it because of the doubt and unbelief in our heart. We need the great physician to work on our hearts. And that's what 40 days of prayer and fasting is intended for. For God to change us. We need to be changed. We need to be transformed. And that only happens when you come into the presence of the Almighty. Amen. In His presence is fullness of joy. Amen. It's a joy that this world cannot give. It's a joy that drugs and alcohol cannot give you. It is a joy that the world cannot take away. Even in the midst of trouble and trial and temptation, the joy of the Lord is your strength. Give the Lord a praise this morning. We praise you, Lord. We thank you. We thank you, Lord, for your promises, for your word that is eternal. Lord, stir deep inside of our hearts today. Deep, Lord, to grab a hold of what the Spirit of the Lord is speaking to our church. 40 days of prayer and fasting. All of us can do something. All of us can do something. And the scripture says to pray without ceasing. And we are praying for a deeper relationship with God. We are praying for the power and glory of God to come into our lives, to come into this corporate body, a spiritual flow that goes deep. You know, if God's not here and God doesn't show up, then we could have just gathered down at the Union Hall. We're not any different than any club that meets for fun and fellowship if God isn't here and doesn't show up. Church is about gathering as one to worship our Lord and Savior. Come, let us magnify the Lord together. Let us exalt His name together. Church is not to be built upon a famous personality. Church is not to be built upon because the elite of the society meets in that place. Church is about the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords meeting with us. I shared last week, we're like dust. We're just dust, a speck, in comparison to God. And we have this small amount of time in eternity to live for Jesus, to make a difference in our world, to make a difference in our family, in the lives of our family. Our hearts should be passionate towards our family, our husbands, our wives, our children, our parents, our aunts, our uncles. We should have this burning passion that not one person will be left behind in our family. And God is able to do that. He's able to do that. When we seek Him, we will find Him. And God hears our prayers from the heavens, and God will answer our prayers as we seek Him as one. As one. Because it's all about Him. Tell your neighbor, it's not about you. It's not about your personal preferences or what you like. I'm so tired of personal preferences and what people like. What about God? What about God? I went to see Tree Light Christmas at another church that performed it this year, the play that we did last year. And one of Cain's lines when Mr. Carmichael was saying not to say Merry Christmas because we might offend somebody. And his line was, well, what about offending God? We are not ashamed of the gospel. And we are not ashamed to say, or too proud to say, we need God. We need Him. We desperately need Him. There's such an urgency in my spirit. We are entering into desperate times. And we desperately need God and a deeper relationship with Him. And the power and the presence of God in this house, that when people come in, when those people that God has ordained are going to fill these pews, when they come in, they need a spiritual experience. They don't need you and me. They need to meet with Jesus in this house. But God uses you and I together to release His presence. We prepare a spiritual habitation. And those that are lost and need a Savior, they walk into that and they can't help but receive Jesus Christ. Is that what you want? You've heard the words that have been spoken over this place. The scripture tells us to war over the words that God has given to us. They don't just happen. They're always contingent upon us. Do we believe what God said? Do we believe what His Word says? You know, God will confirm to us our heart's desires when we're in His presence. When we come together to seek His face. And God doesn't really give us a choice about fasting. It's not something that we enjoy doing. Is there anyone here that enjoys a fast? Seems like all hell breaks loose when you begin to fast. Is that right? But Jesus specifically says in Matthew 6, He talks about when you fast. It's not if you fast. In Matthew 6, Warren Wiersbe identifies that chapter as the King's Principles of True Worship. And the three things Jesus talks about is when you give, I heard the saying, you can give without loving, but you cannot love without giving. So part of our worship is giving. When you give. And he talks about when you fast. And when you pray. The King's principles of true worship. Giving, praying, and fasting. Fasting is first, most, and importantly, to draw us closer to God. It's not to get something, but it is to draw us closer to God. There were times in the Bible when corporate fasts were called. Esther, Mordecai called a corporate fast because the Jews were going to be destroyed. They all fasted 3 days, all food and water. That'd be a tough one, right? Am I the only one that thinks that would be a tough one? Come on, are you with me? That would be difficult. Have you ever tried one day without food and water? Because you were fasting and drawing closer to God? Has anyone done one day? Wave at me. One day. Seems like after you get past it, the one day, then it gets a little bit easier. You got to get food off your mind. You realize how much you think about food when you go on a fast. And your flesh starts to crave stuff. So first and foremost, we fast to draw closer to God. Warren Wiersbe also says the most important part of a Christian's life is the part that only God sees. Who are you in your private time? Who are you when you're not at church? Are you the same? Or do you change? When you fast, God begins to show us what needs to be changed. But I'm going to read in Matthew 6, 16 through 18. And it says, when you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show men they are fasting. I tell you the truth, they have received their full reward. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face so that it will not be obvious to men that you are fasting, but only to your Father who is unseen. And your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. You see, the Pharisees would go out into the marketplace and they would go out on the two busiest days in the marketplace. And they wouldn't comb their hair. They would look a total wreck so that they could show people how spiritual they were because they were fasting. We do the opposite. That's right. It's not for show. It's not for you to go to work and tell everybody, I'm fasting. In their culture, you see, I thought this was a rule. I thought that if you were fasting, you had to get up in the morning, anoint your head with oil, and wash your face. And that wouldn't matter because, I mean, it reminds you that, yes, today I'm consecrating myself, setting myself apart for the Lord. And when I got in Bible college, well, Dr. Delron was teaching on this one morning, and he said in the Eastern country it's very, very dry, and their hair gets really wild. And when they wake up in the morning, it's all over the place, so they would take oil and put it on their hair to calm it down. My mom had to do that every morning. She's got wild hair with VO5 she puts on. But they would put this oil on and they would wash their face so that they would look presentable. would get rid of their bedhead. So I never ask if that's what I was supposed to be doing, anointing my head with oil and washing my face in the morning, or if that was just something they did because that's how they took care of themselves. It'd be kind of like if we got up in the morning and didn't comb our hair or wash our face or whatever. You know what I'm saying? So you look like you just rolled out of bed. Present yourself, yeah, natural in a good way. Because we're representatives of the King wherever we go. Don't go to Walmart in your pajamas, please. And if you do, please don't tell them you go to the River of Life, okay? I think my family knows better than that, right? We're family? Is that right? All right. Do your family good, all right, when you go out. So we're not to be broadcasting it. If somebody asks you to go for a meal, you can kindly just tell them, I'm not eating right now, or thanks for the invitation. Let's do a rain check. Seems like the day that you pick to fast is the day that everybody wants to bring you food or wants to take you to lunch or do something. It's a setup, okay? And so you don't have to say, oh, I'm fasting. No, you don't have to say that. Ask the Lord what to say. A thought that the Lord gave me in prayer was, I did not ask my people to fast to get my attention. You always have my attention. I ask you to fast so that you would focus your attention on me. We always have God's attention. We're the ones that need the adjustment. Tell your neighbor, you need an adjustment. So we're not supposed to broadcast that we are fasting. Another thing the scripture tells us is understand the reason for fasting. And these are just a few. Why do we fast? To humble ourselves. We humble ourselves before God. James 4:10, humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and He will lift you up. When you set aside some of your own desires and needs to present yourself before God, you come face to face with the fact that God Almighty has granted us a hearing. Think about that. We're setting aside our wants and our desires to meet with God, and He grants us a hearing. Because He said, when you fast, when you seek me, I will be found. God ordained this. This is something God ordained. And we're going to do it together. God honors humility. The Bible says He opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Could you use some grace in your life? I need grace. I'm quick to extend grace. I had a professor say, Janet, always err on the side of grace. It's better to err on that side because we reap what we sow. And I need grace. Give me grace. Give one another grace. We're all in different places, going through different things, walking through this life that is full of struggles. Give grace to one another. Don't be critical of one another. Criticism will destroy us. We don't know the whole story. So don't let those judgmental thoughts stay in your head. Tell your neighbor, get them out. You know, it's so much easier to judge someone else's situation than to deal with our own. We avoid dealing with our own stuff and get way too involved in other people's lives to deal with theirs. It's so true. Because we don't want to deal with our stuff. 40 days of prayer and fasting, you will be dealing with your stuff. And we need to make a commitment to have grace with one another. Because some things that come up aren't too pretty. And it all happens in family, right? Isn't that where where people act out is in their family? It's that unconditional love. Extending grace. God opposes the proud. But he gives grace to the humble. 1 Peter 5:5 says, young men, in the same way, be submissive to those who are older. All of you, clothe yourself with humility toward one another, because God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. And verse 6, humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. So we fast to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God. Just get a visual of that. Corporately coming together in prayer and fasting, and the mighty hand of God on us. We humble ourselves because we know that in our own strength we can do nothing. If Jesus doesn't show up, nothing changes and nothing happens. We're not talented enough to make it happen. We cannot change the hearts of men and women and children. But Jesus can. Jesus can. And when we say, Lord, we're at the end of ourselves, and we need your help. God shows up. He said he would. Because he's not willing that any should perish. God is getting us ready. He's taking us deeper. When you know God, he will do great exploits. It's a promise. He will. Let's know him. Let our understanding be enlightened. When we're enlightened, the Holy Spirit begins to give us revelation, knowledge of who God is and what God wants to do. And we'll know him more, who he is, how he operates. His ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. You cannot figure God out completely. I always say, I'm on a basis with God. It's called a need to know basis. If I need to know it, he tells me. It's a need to know basis. It's our human nature to want to figure it all out and to strive to figure it all out, or think that we have to know all about it to be able to help somebody or pray for somebody. You don't have to know all about prayer. You just need to know Jesus to pray for somebody. You see, the devil just puts all of these demands on us and we take them as our own. It's a part of the limiting beliefs I was talking to you about a few weeks ago. Our belief system limits us, limits God. And pretty soon we just give up and say, well, that's never going to happen. Why'd I even try? It doesn't work. It's like tithing. People will give up and say, oh, well, it doesn't work. No, $1,000 didn't fall out of the sky for you because you tithe one time. I'm just telling you, it's not how it works. Hallelujah. When we give, when we pray, and when we fast, that's a part of our spiritual service to the Lord. And it's all about what he asks of us. Your life is not your own anymore. You've been bought with a price. And we give our life to Jesus through prayer and fasting. Another thing fasting does for us is it allows the Holy Spirit to bring clarity of the Bible to our hearts and our minds. 1 Corinthians 2:9 through 10, it is written, "No eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love Him. But God has revealed it to us by His Spirit. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God." When we need to know God's thought, we're going to have God's thought. When we need to know what's on God's mind, He's going to put it on our mind. Because the Holy Spirit said He would reveal it to us. We're not going to know everything about God. I don't even think when we get to eternity, we're going to understand all of it or know all of it. He's eternal. He's always been. And He always will be. He's always been. There's no beginning and end with Him. He's always been. It's hard to wrap your mind around something, someone. God is a spirit. We know that. So we worship Him in spirit and truth. And the Holy Spirit begins to reveal to us the greatness of God. And once again, that we're just a small speck of dust with an eternal purpose. Tell your neighbor you have an eternal purpose. John 16:13 says, "But when He, the Spirit of truth, comes, He will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on His own. He will speak only what He hears, and He will tell you what is yet to come." We need the Spirit of truth. Clarity in our thoughts. Because He is going to tell us what is to come. Are we listening? Are we spending time with Him? There's an individual worship that takes place in our lives every day because worship is a lifestyle. It's who we are. And then there's another level of worship when we come together as the corporate body of Christ. God said, "Don't neglect the assembling of yourselves together." And so much the more as we see the day approaching. So we gather together corporately to seek God's face and to experience Him and His power. When we humble ourselves, we're more open to the Holy Spirit's teaching. I really struggle when somebody says, "Oh, I already know that. Oh, I already know that." Well, she's preaching on baptism, the Holy Spirit. I already know that. I'm not going. Really? I already know all about that. That's pride. I'm just going to call it what it is. That's prideful when you think you know everything on a subject in the Bible. And you can say, "Ouch," if that hurt you, if Holy Spirit just stepped on your toes. But that is so prideful to think that we already know all about it. We don't. We haven't even scratch the tip of the iceberg to understanding the working of the Holy Spirit in our lives, in our church, in our hearts. God is a spirit. God sent the Holy Spirit to think that we know so much about that. Is pride. You see, we need to humble ourselves. Because every time we gather together, God will speak to you. And regardless of what I'm teaching on or of what another teacher is teaching, preaching on, Holy Spirit gives you revelation. Many, many times when I'm sitting, I'm writing down something completely different than what the preacher is saying because the Holy Spirit's talking to me. You see, that's how the Holy Spirit teaches every single person that's sitting in this place. It's called the Spirit of Wisdom and the Spirit of Revelation. And it's released upon our congregation and upon those who will gather together. And exactly what you need and exactly what you need to hear to grow or to add on to answer a question or add on to something you've been studying, Holy Spirit will give that to you. He'll give that to you. That's why God said, don't neglect coming together. We may be teaching on a basic topic, but what Holy Spirit speaking to you is exactly what you need because He is the teacher. And He is in our midst and He begins to talk to us. He begins to lead us and guide us into all truth because we need more truth. We grew up in a church that said we have all the truth. Really? I'm still a seeker of truth. I need more. I want to understand more. I'm not happy with just a little. Since I was a little girl, I've been in the Word of God. I'm not happy with just a little. I want more. I want to understand. And often what you understand is a truth. Is part of that truth. But down the road, when God teaches you more, it looks different. Have you ever noticed how God's word is many faceted? Because you'll understand it right here and you'll think, if you think you got all the truth, then you're deceived. And prideful. Holy Spirit's talking about that pride today. It's what caused Satan to fall, right? He wanted worship. We have to be careful with pride. But if we think we have all the truth, then we're deceived. Because God is constantly teaching us, revealing Himself to us. Will we have eyes to see and ears to hear? You see, that's what prayer and fasting fine-tunes us for that. Brings us into alignment. Fasting opens our heart and our mind to let the Holy Spirit show us the deep things of God. To understand mysteries. Anybody here like a good mystery? We understand mysteries by the Spirit of God. And also, fasting allows the Holy Spirit to show us our true spiritual condition. Psalm 139, 23 and 24 says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me and lead me in the way everlasting." That's a good prayer to pray every day. Search me, O God. Know my heart. When I start thinking about someone else's life and want to judge that and get in the middle of that, just know we need to remember, search me, O God. Know my heart. Test me. And know my anxious thoughts. You see, we don't know what God is doing in other people's hearts. He may be testing them right then. And they may not be passing the test. It's not the end of the world. Has God ever let you take the test again? Some of you took the same test several times. We pray for people when they're going through tests and taking their tests, right? Pray for me, I'm taking an exam. We do that in the natural. We need to remember to do that in the spiritual too. Some of God's tests are hard. If you came into the Christian life thinking it would be easy, smile at somebody, would you? God is with us, and He will help us every step of the way. Search me, know me. And then fasting enriches our prayer life. It gets the focus off of ourselves and our own needs into focusing on meeting with God and listening to Him. Often in prayer, we have this one-way dialogue going, I need this. I want this. Would you please fix this? Would you please give me some money? Remind you kind of your kids, you know, when they come to you always asking for something. Could you just spend time with me? Do you always need something? Do you ever feel that way? How about if we just have some fun family time? It turns into a big fiasco. Yeah, amen. You know what I'm talking about. Matthew 6:33 and 34 says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is evil thereof. That must be King James. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Take care of today. That's what the scripture is saying. We get so caught up in, we can get so caught up in worrying about the future that we miss our opportunities for today. Make the most of today because we have no promise of tomorrow. Is that right? Is that what the scripture says? And there's enough evil going on today than to worry about tomorrow. Fasting reminds us that it's not food that sustains us, but it's God. Jesus told His disciples, He said, I have food that you don't know about. In John 4:32-34, He said, I have food you don't know about. What that food was? He said, my food is to do the will of Him who sent me and to finish His work. God wants to feed us spiritually. But we must position ourselves in a place to be fed. It's a spiritual meal that we have when we come together. And you're not going to get a good helping of spiritual food if you already think you know it all. Or I've already been there, I already did that. There's a table spread for us every time we come together. It's up to us to grab a hold and take a big helping of what's being served. God will not force feed you. We pick up the mashed potatoes and put them on our plate, right? And the fried chicken and the gravy and the biscuits and the big piece of pie. And we ate way too much yesterday at Das Essen House for breakfast. That was really yummy. And nobody made us go back for another serving. Right? It's the same way when we come together. There is spiritual food being served up for you. Take a big helping. Sometimes it takes a while to digest it. We ate all those mashed potatoes and didn't know for sure what they were going to do to us. They usually show up on your waist, you know. But it takes a while to see the effects of the food that you ate. Is that right? It's the same way with spiritual food. We take in these helpings. We eat real good when we come together. And then we begin to digest it. And Holy Spirit continues to add to it and teach us. And we become fat sheep. And God wants his fat sheep to get busy. Sheep reproduce sheep, remember? Last point, fasting is denying yourself something. In the Bible times, they fasted food. And often, if you can't fast food, there's other things. No, can't buy fast food during a fast either. I just happened to think of that. Oh, fast food. Ooh. Yeah, got to give that up. Well, you could, but you're going to feel guilty now every time you go to the drive-in. But it's giving up something that's meaningful to you. So maybe that's giving up social media. Nobody said, ouch. TV, cable, internet. You know, we didn't have internet before this. So why is it has such a hook on us? And I'll get into that later, because I think I've learned some things about our body, and it's got us hooked. It's got us hooked. Can you give that up? Fasting, giving up something that's meaningful to you. So I guess the question is, am I willing to give up something meaningful to me during this 40 days of prayer and fasting? And point number 4, fill your life with prayer. When you're fasting, it's a good time to be in the Word. It's a good time to pray. If you're fasting a meal and you have an opportunity, if you can study during that time, sit quietly with the Lord. Quiet yourself. You know how difficult that is for our culture? And that is the trick of the enemy. People do not know how to quiet themselves. They don't know how to come down off of all of the distractions. It's almost a withdrawal. We want to hear God and eliminate the clutter. And that's what this is all about. A corporate prayer and fasting, gathering for prayer at 10 a.m. And there will be no Wednesday night group meetings during that time. We are going to come together for prayer and worship during that time. We are setting aside 40 days of prayer and fasting. There will still be ministry for the children. Sunday mornings beginning January 1, you can check your children in the Sunday school department at 10 o'clock. 10 a.m. So those that have families, have children, you can come on in at 10 a.m. and pray. Our cafe will still be open. If you're not joining us for corporate prayer in the morning, or you want to come in and pray and then go, you can do that. It's your choice. Cafe will still be open. It will open later in the morning, because the only ones coming in at 9 will be praise team and sound and media team to get ready for service. So cafe will open a little later, probably around 9:45. So those of you who are on the cafe team, you won't have to be here till 9:30. Usually have to be here at 8:30. Leonard comes in at 7 and makes coffee. So everything will keep moving, but our main focus is to worship God, is to seek His face, to quiet ourselves, to get rid of the clutter, the distractions that are pulling on us. And we know children can be clutter and distractive, so they're going to their own cafe. The children's cafe will be open, the student ministry's cafe, at 10 a.m., and they'll have their own time there. And Pastor Vanessa, Tricia, and Karen will be overseeing them. So they can all go there, and we can either come here for prayer, or if you prefer to go to the cafe for fellowship and a cup of coffee, you can do that. Or if you've invited someone for church and you want to meet a friend, take them to the cafe, buy them a cup of coffee. God is in the house.